Good evening and welcome inside the Better Clubhouse on this last Tuesday of July the 29th, live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, 19th hole, Clubhouse Studios, proudly supported by Ice Pick Vodka, Shipyard Brewing, Sea Dogs Brewing, Michelob Ultra, and Ultra Zero. This is the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network, and you're listening to the Better Clubhouse live on RadioSt.Pete.com on the Florida Sports Streams channel. And check us out on Spotify on the Tampa Bay Podcast Archive, part of Radio St. Pete. I'm Christian Champ Sharp, part of your Clubhouse crew tonight, joined shortly by my brother from another mother, none other than Sammy Sharps. Also a shout out to the man, the myth, the legend, Joe Geiger on the controls tonight for having a little sunset send-off there. We're looking forward to that. Really appreciate Joe and all his hard work behind the scenes with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. Have to get him on for the last 15 there. Talk about his UCF Golden Knights there. Looking forward to that. Gridiron action that we'll catch in the last 15 there as Sammy's been breaking down that, getting into the lab there for the gridiron for college football and NFL. Dog days of summer winding down there. Obviously, action-packed for this next hour there. Something happened over in the 3M that hasn't happened in quite a while, so we'll definitely be looking back on that fond memory of Sunday action there and prepping the patrons for the Wyndham Championship PGA Tour's regular season finale this week, right before the FedEx Cup playoffs begin there as well. Obviously, on the Better Clubhouse here, stay tuned for 7:15. We'll have our MLB Bet of the Night. We cashed 2 weeks ago. Looking forward to that one. Also talking about some other gambling news around the diamond. We'll try to stay Class A here, Joe, for you there. A little hindsight as we look into that situation. Probably more to come, obviously, with the micro markets that I know Sammy's got his pulse on. It's not too happy about the situation, but we'll have to be talking about that 7:15 and obviously breaking down patio preview for Wyndham. Looking forward to all that. Well, while I get Sammy on the Clubhouse line, head on over to www.thebetterclubhouse.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletters. We send out three to the patrons there. Patio preview just dropped each and every Monday, 8 a.m. Gives you a little insight into the course, tournament, early models, key stats, and trends there. Totally free for the patrons there. Just give a little shout out there, www.thebetterclubhouse.com. Tonight, we looked to probably release about, I think we got about 15 names that we're looking to player, what we call player deep dives, form, stats, odds, even threw in some FedEx Cup ranking, which will be a key indicator, maybe some extra motivation for the players this week, breaking that down. That's probably going to be a 10 p.m. Drop there. Get hit up on the notifications there. Also, we'll send out a shout-out probably 8 a.m. tomorrow, just recognizing that. And then tomorrow, obviously, you can catch this show's Spotify link. Also, Wednesday's final bets and models, just to get you ready for round one action of the Wyndham Championship. So, additionally, Sammy, as we mentioned before, has been working hard on college football, getting those preview articles out, giving you a pulse on all the conferences, SEC, ACC, all those other big ones out there as well. And also NFL will be looking at team totals, previews, odds, all that good stuff. And even some fantasy football, who I know that Sammy helped me win my league last year. Looking forward to that and getting everybody geared up for that. All that and more, www.thebetterclubhouse.com. And follow us on the socials, X, Instagram, and Threads as well. I talked about him enough there, Joe. Let's bring him into the line there. None other than my brother from another mother, Sammy Sharps. How are we doing on this final Tuesday of July?
You know, final Tuesday of July means that we're that much closer to football, so I am doing well. Congratulations on your outright last week. Great clubhouse win for us, and I'm ready to hopefully get a back-to-back clubhouse win here at the Wyndham in my now home state of North Carolina.
Yeah, looking forward to that as our me and Joe's favorite, Lee Corso. Not so fast on that football there, my friend. We still got plenty of golf action. And one of the best courses here at Wyndham at Greensboro there. We've been playing this course for years. We got plenty of stats, plenty of models, plenty of trends. We've had some great success there as well, looking to see if Max Grazerman can revenge that awful meltdown last year. And looking back there, we got plenty of information really going there. But, yeah, let's go back. I mean, we're talking about the 3M Open there, the Tony Finau Open that we used to that we still call it there. Plenty of sticky form there. Great action there. But yeah, I mean, shout out. Happy to have finally crossed one, get one across the line there, Sammy. 30-1 on the Seminole Hard Rock bet there for Kurt Kitayama. I like that shout out from, I think it was Jim Nance for the double K. I wasn't sure where he was going that until I realized it was Kurt Kitayama. I didn't know if he was going Kevin Kiermaier or where he was going with that double K there, but really looking forward to that. Happy to get through. Definitely didn't see him putting up a, what did he shoot, 28 on Friday, on Saturday, and then throwing a 29, two front nine. Add those up. That ends up 57 for my quick math statistics degree there.
I think he set a record for birdies in the weekend. I think he had 20 birdies on the weekend. It was close to, if not setting a record.
Yeah, no, he broke that record, formerly honed by a guy I know you have kind of some interest in. That'd be Hideki Matsuyama. And what's Sammy talking about there? Number of birdies on a weekend for the eventual champion was that
okay.
Would be from Kurt Kitayama. He actually got it on the 11th hole on back nine on Sunday. He kind of went dry there on the back nine, but luckily just needed to get up and down from the bunker there. I was sweating. Coming down here, Florida, St. Pete heat. Think my overheating by... I mean, just buckets just coming down sweating there from my run as I listened to it on PGA Tour radio. Those announcers just wished him to three-putt on 17. So that was a rough listen there. But happy to – sad for my other bet there. Jake Knapp putting in the water on 18. Loving going for gusto there. I really saw him having that Hulk Hogan vibes with the mustache, the mullet, 16-inch pythons there.
Rest in peace.
He just needed a little bit there. Obviously, rest in peace there. Rest in peace to Ozzy Osbourne there. Happy to be on the crazy train there. We'll see what we can do there. And then also shout out to Ryan Sandberg. Happened yesterday as well from Cubs lore there. Great player, Hall of Famer there. Things happen in threes. We know they happen. Hopefully they happen in twos this week there, Sammy, and we can get another back-to-back winner there. We've done it in the past, and even on my top 10 model, I have 11 wins now. We had Kurt Kitayama last week. 11 wins, 33 events. Quick math, 33% there. And first or second in 58% of tournaments there. We've gone back-to-back three times this season already. Let's do it another one there. Overall, I think it was a great course. I think it does provide birdies down the stretch. I think that bunker shot, Kurt Kitayama on the back nine.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, we've seen plenty of players dump it there. They talked about it on the air, one of the toughest shots. He just stuffed it to 4 feet there.
They went like crazy, like that was the Masters, and he was going to win the Masters. Like that shot was that unbelievable. The announcers really gave him recognition for that.
Yeah, I mean, I think for Kurt Kitayama, obviously second tour win. He's won at a signature event right down over here in Orlando and the Arnold Palmer Invitational there. That was a Palmer design last week, which I like for a comp course there. Plenty of birdies, plenty of things happening there. It almost turned into a runaway kind of. But that was fun. Obviously, brotherly love there. Maybe a little brotherly shove. Look ahead for NFL there for the Eagles there. But first win for those two brothers there. And I wouldn't be surprised. I have TPC Twin Cities as a comp course this week to Sedgefield Country Club. So I actually like a lot of crossover there, especially with guys that are playing well. Even Kurt Kitayama is one. He's only 53rd in the FedEx Cup rank. Obviously, that big number right now is top 50. Get you in all the way through to the playoffs there as well. Plenty of guys fighting that top 70 and top 100 spots that will plenty of mention there as well. And plenty of guys still looking in that Comcast top 10 as well. Plenty of money up for grabs there. Any final thoughts on the 3M there? But, yeah, always happy to get one over. I mean, it's been a nice run of form for me. I'm not going to lie there, Sammy. Just looking back ever since June 24th, Max Grazeman playoff loss at Rocket. I don't know. I mean, I know you were on that one with me there. Go up next week. Head up to John Deere. Kevin Roy misses a putt on 17. Could have got us into a playoff there. Ace Ventura, Sunday 79 at the ISCO. Matt Fitzpatrick, betting favorite on the odds board this week. Gives me a first-round leader in top four at the Scottish. Patrick Fishburne in that opposite field is right there. Doesn't have a good Sunday. And then obviously at the Open, Matt Fitzpatrick there until a guy named Scotty Scheffler decided to continue to play amazing golf here. And we'll probably see him in a couple weeks for the playoffs. Not in the field this week, which we love to see there. Any final thoughts there from the 3M Open? I know that you were knee-deep on the gridiron, so anything catch your eye there from the 3M?
I thought it was interesting, a couple nerdy stats here. So Kitayama gained 3.6 strokes on approach on Sunday and 4.42 strokes on Saturday. Interestingly enough, he was around 60% driving accuracy, which this week, as we eventually segue here into Sedgefield, might get him in a little bit of trouble. I'm not sure how he is on like the club down type courses that we could see this week, but that driving accuracy is something of note that I have circled this week for Kitayama. Also, he lost almost 1.5 strokes on the greens, but still shot a 6-under on Sunday. So truly incredible stuff. You know, I really like the 3M Open. I really like Sedgefield. I like River Highlands. I wish they would rotate the three for a signature event rather than just keeping River Highlands as a signature event, because I think all three courses kind of have a little bit of gusto, a little bit of their characteristics that are unique to themselves. And like last week, if you hit the water, you're dead. This week, if you're in the rough, it could cost you up to a half a stroke. This Bermuda rough is kind of its own type of beast. So I would like to see the signature events rotated and maybe included in Sedgefield. I don't know what that would do with the PGA calendar, but it would be cool to see some of the bigger names here to see, you know, what the scoring would look like and something like that.
For sure. I think also a shout out to you, Sammy. Your fate of the week was none other than the man himself of the tournament, Tony Finau. You even backed that up, doubled that word up on there, putting a bet on to miss the cut.
Yeah, 2-1.
And 2-1 cashes for the patrons there within that Wednesday newsletter. Catch all those, plus our fades and bets of the week there, and subscribe to get all our first round leader and all the other DFS chalk plays and pivot plays and all that good stuff there as well. I was on Chris Goddard up there. Obviously, I mean, strong run of form there as well for a guy there. I didn't really expect it to be there. I'm kind of curious. He kind of fits that Kurt Kitayama mold this week. Was on a heater last week. Can he get that going? Obviously, he's got if he can do that, he can set himself up well for the playoffs and more cash. So we'll see.
He's in through East Lake at this point in time.
For sure. And I think also, so looking forward to that. Have to stay tuned to the show there. See if we can put somebody in the fades there. Obviously, 100% success rate. Not the kiss of death there. We're looking forward to it. We embrace that binomer there. And also, if the fade hits, if you go on over to www.thebetterclubhouse.com, we'll give you a free subscription there for the month. If that hits, just hit us up on X or any of our socials there and let us know who you bet. If that guy wins, let us know your subscription there, and we'll get you over there. Plenty of stuff for free there. Sammy, so I think as we go forward here, obviously down here at Ferg's, it's been a hot one. Just to give us a kind of a sense I know you're in Charlotte, but pretty close to Greensboro there. What's the weather up there? I know we've been heating, over 100 for the first time in Tampa at the airport happened yesterday. Today, another scorcher there. Weather up there? What's kind of the weather situation? Not necessarily the course, but just kind of what can the players expect up there in Greensboro this week?
It's sticky. It's typical Carolina summer. Over the weekend, I think the thermometer said it felt like 108 degrees. And I noticed when I took my dog out, I think two nights ago, I walked out of the garage and it was, you could feel the heat. You could feel the humidity. Guys that are from this area probably will benefit a little from that just because they know what to expect at this time of year. Maybe players that don't play here at this time of year are unfamiliar with this course. It would probably affect them a little bit more. It's also because it's been so hot and humid, it does rain frequently. I'm sure the course has gotten its fair share of rain. If anything, that's going to affect the thickness of the Bermuda rough, probably prevents a little bit of rollout. These greens are undulating, though, and they're pretty quick. So I would imagine they have – I don't know if they have sub-air. I haven't looked into that. But I imagine these greens are going to be pretty well kept, and those guys, those groundskeepers, really know how to take care of that with the heat, the humidity, and the rain. Wind could be a factor. I know there's some – typical Carolina course there. It's got some trees if you kind of divert from the fairway a little bit. So if wind it comes into play and you hit the trees, you're going to have to kind of punch out or get a little frisky. So all the type of Carolina stuff that you expect in the summer, really. Heat, humidity, and a little bit of wind.
Yeah, and I mean, I think on that front, I'm actually, out of all those names that you mentioned, I think a couple local products, North Carolina alum is Ben Griffin up there.
Yep.
Somebody to keep in who has not the greatest history, as we'll go into there. Another name up there would be Ryan Gerard. He just won at ISC, at the ISCO up there. Or actually at the Barracuda. Sorry about that. So he won that one there. So he's back. Another name that people might not believe be familiar with, but Akshay Bhatia is actually from North Carolina up there as well. So he's got
four
some local
missed
ties.
Cuts at this course somehow. It doesn't make any sense. You'd think it'd be a perfect course fit for him, and he hasn't been able to figure it out here.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those that is the pressure from all the locals and getting the tickets,
sure,
and all that stuff type of thing. Another name up there as well is Cameron Young, went to school at Wake Forest. So up there in North Carolina as well. And then lastly would be none other than Max Homa is one to circle as well. Obviously plays well over at Quail Hollow up there, right in the Sammy's backyard in North Carolina. We'll see what he can do after playing so well at John Deere as well. And then lastly would have to be, I just had a name. Oh, JTP has played very well here as well. But, well, we've got all that circled. Looking forward to that. Get the patio preview, see if we can line up some stats and some names. But before we do that, we got to let the patrons know that this is, you've been listening to, this is the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network, and you're listening to the Better Clubhouse live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, 13th and Central, right in the backdrop of Tropicana Field in downtown St. Pete, streaming live on RadioSt.Pete.com on the Florida Sports Streams channel. Come on down, try out our down to Ferg's. We got a special tonight, $3 tacos. I think Joe's finally taking a break behind the controls, stuffed some down with his dad down here. Got to love it. Have the Champa Bay as we watch the Rays try to get an early run here on the Yanks, try to get a little back-to-back win yesterday, see if we can win without Danny J behind there as he was recently traded there. Looking forward to that. No big moves so far. Top one right now, second and third there. But, yeah, that started at 7:05. Rays 28% to win the playoffs, 2% title chances there with the recent slide. We'll have to see if they make some moves there. I know a couple names, big names that they're kind of been rumored there. Yandy Diaz up there, Brandon Lau up there, Pete Fairbanks up there as well. Was kind of curious there. See plenty of moves there. Sammy, any moves that you've noticed in MLB that have kind of been up there, been shocking, or is the anything that's kind of from the trade rumor kind of piqued your interest at least?
I saw Ryan McMahon from the Rockies went to the Yankees, third baseman. He's been kind of down this year, yep, as far as hitting goes, but I feel like that's an interesting ad. Usually when these guys go from a bad club to a club like the Yankees, they kind of, you know, get a second wind. They feel like their production might actually lead to something in a playoff run. So
that's a former All-Star too, right?
Yeah. I think 2 years ago.
Yep.
But yeah, that's one I've got my eyes circled, Sorry.
Yeah. And a name, and as far as, and well, and I'll, before, as we segue into our MLB bet of the night, Sammy, stay classy on this next topic, please. I mean, Joe's begging us here or there, but what are your thoughts on your team's closer there? Manuel Class A getting rung up, we'll say, by MLB there as far as the pitch. If you don't know, Manuel Class A, closer of the Guardians there, is under investigation for some pitch kind of antics there, kind of looking into the micro there, calling balls and strikes. I saw a little thread on X just with him just throwing balls into the dirt, almost hitting people with zero outs. Just your thoughts on that, anything you're hearing there, and just your thoughts on the overall situation there.
Yeah, so he's the second pitcher on Cleveland staff to be investigated for this. I saw a stat that I think it was first pitch of the at-bat at the top of the ninth or something like that. There's a 17% chance that it's going to be out of the zone, whereas all of his other first pitches are only 5%. So it's something they're looking into, but I'm not condoning the behavior. Obviously, it's wrong. I don't know why a professional would get into something like that, especially with the type of contract that he has. But I put a little bit of blame on the sports books, actually. I'm going to take a different angle with it, but you know, I'm a fan of like first basket, first touchdown more so than first basket in basketball, but I could see why someone would want to bet those markets. But betting a pitch market by balls and strikes, like who's going to throw a strike on what pitch, I feel like that's pretty predatory. And, you know, 10 years ago, we didn't have that. So I feel like those markets are easily manipulated, as we're starting to see. And, you know, sports betting regulation, legality, it leads you to finding that type of stuff. Whereas offshore betting, you're not going to find that stuff. It's not regulated. But also, like, why do we need those markets? Anybody that's betting into that either needs to call the number because they're just betting to bet. There's no
1-800 gambler for those that are itching to try to, or if you have a personal family member or patron that's you're sweating out there. There you go, there, Sammy.
But the other people that are betting that market are the people that, in my opinion, people betting into that market other than the people that should be calling the number are people that know something or people that potentially could fix something. So I think removing that market altogether kind of gets rid of what we're seeing right now, at least in baseball, in this particular type of situation.
I mean, as I've been into up there at Steinbrenner Field, season ticket holder for the Rays there, I've seen plenty of people in the chatter just in the stands there that'll bet on the speed, I think, more of the actual balls and strikes there. So that's a little bit of a niche market there. But I agree, any type of that market that's very specialized, obviously we've seen multiple occasions in the NBA with weird turnovers or missing or shots and that sort of thing as well. MLB, yeah. I think it's just obviously the gambling. You got plenty of these sports books that are in on this, trying to get people there, plenty of markets there. The one that I brought up to you, Sammy, and just curious your thoughts on how this kind of relates to that, table tennis in Colorado has always been the number, has been always an interesting one that I always see on X as far as getting millions of dollars into that. Is there any correlation between this market and what might be going on up there in Colorado and table tennis?
I would have no idea, but it is weird when you look at the P&Ls of the Colorado books. There's like seven figures worth of handle on table tennis out there, and it's not really anywhere else. It's primarily in Colorado, and it's been that way since COVID. So I don't know, but yeah, that seems fishy to me for sure. I mean, as a Cavs fan, do you remember about 20 years ago the name Ricky Davis?
I do.
He was on the team when LeBron was first drafted.
Yep.
He threw a fake shot off the backboard of the opposing team's backboard to pull in a rebound to get a triple-double. Imagine if somebody did that nowadays with the way sports betting is so rampant. People would lose their minds.
That's what Giannis did, right? Didn't Giannis do that? He was right under the rim and did that. And I think they've had some like fun cheeky moments that. But we'll see what happened in there. Obviously, I think even an NBA player recently is under investigation there as well.
Terry Rozier.
Exactly. I don't see it going away. It's something to keep an eye on. Curious funny, of that situation as well.
Funny enough, Champ, not to interrupt you, but Terry Rozier is from Cleveland.
Ah, look at that. There's something in the water up there.
I guess so.
Yeah, it won't be the dirty water of Boston. We need to come up with the something up there, the some kind of water, the Sin water or something up there in Ohio River there. But something's going on.
I mean, Lake Erie water is not that nice. So
there
maybe
you go.
It's that Lake Erie water.
But you
water.
Know what is nice there, Sammy? We got the MLB Better Than Night. I've circled a couple names. We've had a good run of luck the other night, hitting Vlad Guerrero from there, plus 425 on Seminole Hard Rock. A couple names I have circled here, Sammy, any ones that one would be Matt Olson, Atlanta Braves there, plus 325. Really like his situation there. Been hitting the ball very nicely. Another one to check off I was actually on yesterday. Didn't get it across, but I really like him. I'm going to jump back on there. That would be one in the Texas Rangers. Aldonis Garcia, really like that. And probably my best bet, and I looked on the app, and it's only plus 170. Plus 170, but this guy, he's got the nickname Home Run Derby Champ, FSU Knoll. Got to go back to him. Last game on the slate. If you want to chase, don't chase with balls and strikes. Chase with Cal Riley, the big dumper himself, plus 170 to hit a home run tonight on the Seminole Hard Rock. Any of those you're circling there or want to jump on board there, Sammy?
It feels like the easy way out, betting on the guy with 41 home runs, but one plus 170 at that minor league park that they're playing in Sacramento at the Athletics. I feel like I could get into that. I might have to bet that. He's got like a 10 game hit streak going. He's hit a home run in three of his last six games. Do you know who's throwing for the A's tonight?
I do. Yeah, I mean, he's got the he's already got a home run off of him. Let me do a quick effort there just for you. There's Sammy.
That's Severino. Severino, yeah.
There you go. So
and Severino gives up the contact, yeah.
Yeah, we love meatballs from Severino. Best restaurant up there, hopefully in Sacramento. Looking forward to that. So Cal Riley, jump on board with the patrons there. You'll be posting that on all the socials there. Hit us up. Tag us. Let us know that you're riding the big dumper himself, FSU Noel there, Cal Riley. Plus 170 there. Also, Matt Olson, Atlanta Braves, and Aldonis Garcia of the Texas Rangers champ is on tonight as well. Looking forward to keeping that going. Sammy, what do you say? Why don't you take the patrons out onto the patio, a little bit outside of the clubhouse. Hopefully it's not too hot out there for them as you break down the patio preview. Proudly supported this week by Body Armor and Coca-Cola for the Wyndham Championship.
Yeah, let's do it. Hey, I mean, right now I just looked at the weather app here. It's 84% humidity here in Charlotte. It's going to be sticky out here on the patio, but it's a perfect situation because we're going to North Carolina in Greensboro. We're going to Sedgefield Country Club, a full field event, top 65 in ties make the cut. As you might have heard earlier in the show, this is the last regular season event on the PGA Tour, and top 70 on the FedEx Cup points list are going to the playoff events starting in Memphis. So keep that in mind. Par 70, about 7,100 yards, a little over that. It's a Donald Ross design with a couple of renovations here about 20 years ago by Chris Spence. The greens, Bermuda greens, they're undulating. They're about average to above average in size for the PGA Tour. They're running anywhere between 12 and 13 on the stint meter. And just like the greens, the rough is also Bermuda, like I mentioned earlier in the show. It's not overly long, but it is thick, and it can cost up to a half a stroke if you're missing the fairways. It's also pretty tough around the greens. You can't really get a good grasp of how the ball is going to come out when the rough is surrounding the ball there around the greens. About 50 bunkers, six water hazards, so it's not anywhere near what we saw last week in terms of water. There's also Bermuda fairways. They're roughly 30 yards in width on average. The short game, I would say, is the hardest here. The greens are probably the biggest defense of the course, and the around the green if you're missing the greens. So easier than tour average to gain strokes to the field on approach and off the tee, kind of like I said, to support that short game being the most difficult here. Driver usage, interestingly enough, significantly below tour average, actually closer to 50% driver. Down from about 70%, which is tour average. It's not an overly long course. You need to be in the fairway, so guys tend to club down. Driving accuracy probably is my favorite stat of the week outside of shots gained approach. Good drive percentage is slightly above tour average. And the greens and regulation, I thought this was very interesting. Greens and regulation at this course specifically, 71.5% or better over the last 5 years. And if you're in the fairway, over the last 5 years, it's been 83% or better. So you need to be in these fairways. You need to be hitting the greens to score. That's key here. A vast majority of the shots are coming from about 175 and in. Going for greens because of the short nature of the course is going to have a higher percentage here than tour average. So when I'm factoring that into my model, I'm looking for going for green, hit green percentage. Obviously, that would set up some scoring putts for these guys. Everything else kind of run of the mill in terms of PGA Tour average. I mean, par threes, they're not as hard, but they're pretty long compared to tour average. There's only two par fives. Those average scores are anywhere from a half stroke to 7/10 of a stroke under par, so you need to score on those. But there's only two of them. Got to score on the par fours, ranging from about 375 to about 510 yards. I think one of them is actually a par five. For the members that they shrink down to a par four for these guys. Four of those holes have a birdie rate north of 20%, but three of them have a bogey rate north of 20%. And just looking at some scores from recent winners here, Aaron Rye last year, minus 18. Lucas Glover, minus 20. Tom Kim, minus 20. Kevin Kisner, minus 21. So anywhere from that minus 15 to minus 20 range. Do you think they'll go deeper than that this year? The field is kind of better than what we used to see from this event the last few years.
No, I mean, I think that due to the rough there, it kind of penalizes, as you mentioned earlier, half-stroke penalty there. Got to have driver accuracy. I also think the closing stretch this week is a little tough, obviously, with that 18th hole, 17th, and obviously we've seen last year, even with Max Graseman with the lead, kind of fold down the stretch there. So I like that 20-under number there. I mentioned to Sammy last week, and we kind of the goal is 6-under par each day, or 5-under par each, actually, each day last week, get us to that 20-under. That would have put you probably in T5 last week. So I still like that number. I'd expect the players to go a little bit lower last week at the 3M, more of a birdie fest. This one is birdie, but I think you got to have a warmer putter this week. I do like that number there. Obviously, 5-under par won't get you a first-round leader ticket cashed, but if you can be 10-15-under par going into Sunday, I do like those chances there, Sammy.
Great.
And if, as far as that information there, before Sammy gives you the list of names, including my top 10, I first want to let the patrons know that this is the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network, and you're listening to the Better Clubhouse live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill down near 13th and Central, right in the backdrop of the old gray lady with her top off, getting a nice tan there, Joe Geiger, in downtown St. Pete, known as Tropicana Field, streaming live on RadioSt.Pete.com and the Florida Sports Streams channel. If you like this show and you like some golf talk there, our sister show is over on Thursdays down here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill as well, sometimes over there at Sea Dogs as well, from 6 to 8. That's on the T Florida Golf, on the T Florida, AM 820, the Big 8, two pros and a hack, Mike Rickard, Joe Rager and Bill Butner himself. Bill Butner's on a little tour right now. He was calling us from a boat in Toronto last week. Looking forward to see. I think he's up in Ottawa this week. So really looking forward to that. Catch that on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Radio Network, also on Sports Talk Florida, and obviously AM 820, the Big 8. On the T Florida Golf there. Had a great watch party down here at Ferg's last Friday for Happy Gilmore 2. That was great there. Obviously got a little rain the night before, or the early session there, but plenty of people came out, supported. Really looking forward to, appreciate Ferg's and everybody that showed up for that one there. Sammy, what's your review there? What's your Rotten Tomato score as far as 1 to 5 tomatoes on Happy Gilmore 2 there?
1 to 5 tomatoes, I would give it a solid 3. I didn't go into it expecting it would be better than the original. Usually sequels never are. But I got some laughs, especially early. I thought it was probably a little bit too long and it dragged on, but I thought it was funny. It felt like they were making fun of Liv a little bit in there with the whole Maxi League thing. And it was also funny that Brooks and Bryson were on team golf or team PGA or whatever you want to call it, playing against Maxi League. So I definitely got some laughs. My wife laughed, especially early on. So definitely worth seeing, but don't go into it thinking it's going to be, you know, a blockbuster, awesome 10 out of 10 movie, because it's just not that. But it was a solid Adam Sandler movie.
Yeah, I would agree. I think especially looking forward to that. Once again, it's like all the other ones. They wait too long before to do a sequel there. I mean, we could do it way before this, but really glad of all seeing all the cameos of all the PGA Tour players, seeing all the family members, seeing the shout-out. Plenty of Easter eggs in there. Check it out. Happy Gilmore 2, obviously, on Netflix there. And also a shout-out to Big Daddy 2 coming out. Really looking forward to that one. That was also always a fun one for me to watch. Curious to see what that happens on that one. Yeah,
I didn't see that.
Yeah, it's coming down the pike there. Obviously, Netflix, I think, and Adam Sandler signed a deal there, so he's got a couple movies coming out there. But that's it's another one on the there. We'll see what happens. Sammy, did you ever catch out? What was that one with Adam Sandler, and that he was the gambler NBA agent, the Hustle?
Uncut Gems.
Uncut Gems. Uncut Gems. You're right. And he did Hustle. He did too. Yeah.
There were two of them. I thought it was crazy that he didn't get an award for Uncut Gems.
Yeah.
I thought both of those movies were honestly very good. Probably some of Adam's better movies.
If you had one to pick for tonight, in order to gear up for Carl Riley tonight, our MLB Better Than Night, are you going Uncut Gems, or are you going to have him do the
Uncut Gems? Okay. Yeah, Uncut Gems is a really good movie.
Especially
yeah.
if you have daughters and you don't know how to handle them like I am in the clubhouse there. Always fun. And if you ever have to go to a get you ready for the school events and all that good stuff, Some great sequence, so great there. So shout out to Uncut Gems and great show there and movie from Adam Sandler and Happy Gilmore 2. Without further ado there, Sammy, you just gave the patrons a patio preview there. Really looking forward to the course there. I know you have some stats there lined up as well.
Yep.
Personally, my stats there, I like a combination of driver accuracy and total driving this week. I think being in the fairway there. I've had some good success here on my top 10, either a second or a win. And over 60% of the times I've modeled this course there, really looking. Also, I have at buckets. You might see this from little. I like it for the par threes. I also like it for par fives and that sort of thing as well. 150 to 200. I really like that range this week.
Okay.
Really looking forward to that. We'll see. Have to see with the mid irons there as well. And just one key stroke. We've been on this course 15 times already. 80% morning round has hit your first round leader. So look at that instance there as well. And also 15 out of 15 within four shots going into Sunday. So you're going to need somebody there as well. And a key note here, it's something to note. Well, there is Sammy. Only 4 out of 15, that's only 27%, had a top 25 in their last start. So that's somebody maybe off the cuff, maybe a miscut over in the open, maybe a little bit different here, different there. Things to note there. Top 25, only 4 of the last 15 winners had a top 25 in their last start there. Sammy, when you crunch the numbers there, who are some names at the top of, and just looking at that top range as we do at the board there, and I'll just read off the names there. Matt Fitzpatrick, betting favorite, 20-1. Aaron Rye, defending champion, 25-1. Tied up there with Ben Griffin, UNC alum there, having a great season there. And then also Keegan Bradley, the Ryder Cup captain. Right behind him is Hideki Matsuyama, 30-1. Siwoo Kim, 30-1. And bigger the rest, including Jake Knapp and Lucas Glover there. Any names on that top of the board, either you're looking to circle this week or even get away from this week, Sammy, based on the stats in the tournament this week?
Sure. I'm probably out on Matt Fitzpatrick at the top of the board. His approach play has been improving. His off the tee has been improving. He's pretty accurate on club down courses, and he's a good putter on these types of greens. But and he's also running pretty hot. But I'm used to Matt Fitzpatrick being in the range around double this in a little bit of better fields and. I don't know. For 20-1, I know that's a solid number for the top of the board. It's not a 10-1. It's not a 3.5-1 like we see with Scotty, but I'm probably out on him. But right below him, Ben Griffin and Keegan Bradley in that range probably pique my interest the most. Ben Griffin is somebody I'm surprised that's not in your top 10, not to spoil things here, but he's had a great season. Statistically, he's fallen off a little bit here, but irons have remained good. He's good around the greens. Putting has been consistently good for a long time. What left him off your top 10, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah, love to do that. Just an initial thought as I pull that up is, I think you mentioned this, and we mentioned this as well. Matt Fitzpatrick is, I don't know how he's going to handle the heat, to be honest with you. Not just the heat on the top of the leaderboard there, but just humid, hot conditions from somebody over there in England. I'm sure he's adjusted and all that good stuff there. Obviously, I think I've been reading well on Matt Fitzpatrick. Had him at T4 at the Scottish, T4 at the Open. I think a lot of people see those results. They see him at the top of the board. Very accurate driver, usually. He's got the irons and putter dialed. He's definitely in the name of the field there, but I'm definitely not rushing to the top of the board to bet him there as well. You mentioned Mr. Ben Griffin there. One key number that I have on Ben Griffin that put him off of my top 10 this week is he's 159th in this season statistical. So when I run my top 10 numbers, especially this late in the year, regular season finale, when you go on to www.thebetterclubhouse.com, all my models are based on season stats all the way from the Sony all the way till now. 159th in a proximity to the hole for Mr. Ben Griffin this week.
Okay.
So he's going to need that putter to be warmed up. And it's been hot all year, 49th on the season there, 159th there. He's also 129th outside of that one top 125 number and approaches from 150 to 175. So if he's outside that number on that, outside on approach, he's going to be looking at outside birdie chances. Can he get that putter rocking and rolling? For sure. I'm not. off of him this week due to his miscut at the Open Championship. I am not off of him due to his miscut on the number. I believe at the Rocket Mortgage as well, his last start as well, or John Deere there. I actually like Ben Griffin of those top names. He's probably the one I would bet based on the season he's had. Happy to jump off. And he's also gotten a lot of rest. It's most notably that you'll hear in a lot of circles there of all the golf that Ben Griffin plays. Now he's on rest coming in. Local guy winning. Obviously, we know that he played really well at Quail Hollow right up there. Sammy was on the grounds that week. Really was up there to top of the board up there as well at the U.S. Open that we saw as well. So really looking forward to that. I really like that pick there as well, Sammy. A name that I would probably get away from at the top of the board there, just looking at the odds. Obviously, we mentioned Matt Fitzpatrick. Keegan Bradley has actually got a real great history here. I don't know if he's right on Ryder Cup season just yet or not. He probably is a little worrisome there, but really looking there. I like the upside of Deki Matsuyama. Playing well there.
Yeah.
A guy that I think really plays well here, but he just doesn't have it working for me. I don't know what he's going to be. That's none other. And this guy is in my top 10. I'm not going to bet him. It's Mr. Siwoo Kim.
Yeah.
I think he's been there. The putter's been off. He doesn't really putt well around here. He usually loves this place. So course history there. But I wouldn't put my money on Siwoo Kim there. Shout out to Ric Flair. Shout out to Wrestler Nation there. I know he's a bit shook up there. Tampa guy. His boat was not in the dock this week there, Sammy. For Ric Flair, obviously, shout out thinking about his brother up there and Hulk Hogan there. So that's a name that I think there. As we look in the more middle of the board there, Sammy, any names kind of streak your interest there? As you're kind of looking in there, I will let the patrons know only two winners of the last 15 have come from that 25 and one number and below. So another reason to kind of get away from that 13 of the last 15 have not been top 25 there. Maybe it's due. Maybe it's not. That's over 80% there have not come from that 0 to 25 range. As we mentioned, a little bit stronger field this week there. Top 10 for those looking up and trying to circle the names here. Really like these guys this week. Andrew Putnam up there as well. Little off the tee struggles there. Won't need it. He's more of a driver accuracy guy. Emiliano Grillo, as Sammy was on last week. I know he's up there in a charge. Had a couple good rounds. Just failed off a little bit. Playing strong. Loves this course. A couple names that I'm going to fire off that have been on my list pretty much all season. Alex Smalley has got a 64 here. Really liked him. Lee Hodges, a former winner at the 3M last week, which is a comp course. Really like that. See, I'm curious to see if Sammy's got the gusto to go back to the Roy Goat himself. Kevin Roy is up there on my top 10. Great stats. See if he can cash in there. Ace Ventura, maybe a first round, but this guy cannot put four rounds together and definitely would not recommend that bet there. Siwoo Kim, aforementioned there. And two names, actually, the next two are actually in that top of the leaderboard there. Aforementioned Keegan Bradley. Also, Robbie McIntyre, Bobby Mack up there as well. I don't know how he's going to play there. I think the accuracy kind of worries me a little bit for Bobby Mack. Same thing for a Max Homa. Same thing for a Deki Matsuyama. Name of the game this week is driver accuracy. I think I got to go that. And last but not least, this might be a first-round leader bet and see what he can do. Miscut, but I think the form and the course should match if he can get that putter. That's none other than Jackie Chan Kim, 225-1 out there, we mentioned. But 2018, I got a second, 2019 second, 2020 third, 2020 second, second, and a 2024 last year we were on Aaron Rye. So good stats there. If you missed any of those names, check us out on the newsletter, www.thebetterclubhouse.com. Any of those names draw some interest there, Sammy, or that anybody else in that range that you kind of have some interest in this week?
From your top 10, I like Emiliano Grillo still. I was on him last week. He popped at the John Deere. I think he's number one in my final model this week. He's number one in the form model that I looked into. Last 12 rounds, he's top 20 in the field in shots gained approach, shots gained off the tee. He's top 10 on these club down courses, shots gained or driving accuracy on these club down courses. Again, top 10 in the field, and his putting stats are above average. Emiliano Grillo of the top 10, I think that's probably, if I had to pick one guy that I was going to bet this week, he's on my short list right now. So Emiliano Grillo is probably somebody that's going to be on my card this week. I think I've written down that I could get him where, let's see here, 66 to 1 with 8 places. If I could get maybe a 60 to 1 with 10 places, a little extra payout there for a full top 10, I think I'll probably be going down that road. One name in that middle range that you didn't mention that I think I'm really enthralled with this week is Denny McCarthy, a name that we haven't really talked about a lot on the show this year. But when you think of somebody that's accurate on short courses and that can putt lights out, it's Denny. He's one, arguably one of, if not the best putter on tour, between him and Sam Burns and maybe Harry Hall right now. He's in that same ilk. He's got extensive history here. Let's see. He missed 2 of the last 3 cuts, but he's played here 5 other times, finished no worse than 36. He's got a top 10. He's got a top 25 here. The missed cut, back-to-back missed cut across the pond at the Scottish Open and the Open Championship, they're not really going to worry me because those of the link style of those courses. I think I'm just playing the upside here. If he's in the fairways, if you know, his irons are gaining pretty significant, not significantly, but decently, 3 of the last 4 events. So, and then the putter, with the upside of the putter, I think around 51 on Denny McCarthy in that middle range might be a sneaky play.
No, I really like that. 63 on Sunday, back in 2020 there. The guy, as you mentioned it there, 2 missed cuts back-to-back, but before that, T11, T12, T57, 55, and a T8 there. Is it the time that Denny McCarthy gets that first win? Obviously, we've seen it on the board if you haven't already. The next first-time PGA Tour winner, number 1,000 there, Sammy. So that'll be interesting to see if we can get that number up there on the PGA Tour this week as well.
Interesting. Of note, too, he's 39th on the PGA, the FedEx Cup list, and yep, the top 30 qualify for the Tour Championship. So while he's not flirting with that top 70, he's in the playoffs, but he still needs to make some progress to get into the Tour Championship at East Lake.
Yeah, really like that pick, and I'm actually going to be right on there with Emiliano Grillo this week for you as well. I'm going to go first-round nice leader and win on Mr. Nice. Grillo. You can have it there as your bet tonight if you want to put that in there. This guy is top 50 in the putting. This guy has been notably ball striker, tee to green guy, top 40 this season in putting. He's been putting the lights out the last couple weeks. Played really well last week, just right off there. No big sweat momentum there. I really like him to be in there. Can he cross the finish line? Who knows there, but as mentioned there, I can see 65 to 1 on it outright. Also, we'll get a nice number. Hopefully cash a first-round tick, first-round leader. We got the win off the monkey off our back. Now we're going to do first-round leader, get that off there, and free roll into the weekend. So you could definitely put that in the bank there, Sammy, for Grillo, for me, on that betting mark that you'll see there as well, coming from my top 10. And even when I look on the on our one-and-done contest for the season there, I don't even see my name next to him as well. So I'm actually going to jump the gun on you there. I did win last week with Kevin Roy versus your Max Grazerman there. Only got me 50K. I'm down by 5 million. Might as well be 50 million. Hey, but you know what? Tour championship coming up, and we'll have to see what happens there. But I am going to go Emiliano Grillo there for my one-and-done selection. Who do you want to circle there as you look down your list there, Sammy?
I really like that. Grillo, bad words and giggles. Sorry, I didn't censor myself properly there. But there are 6 courses on PGA Tour, including the Sedgefield Country Club, that have this champion Bermuda. And over the last 2 years, Grillo is 7th in 3-putt avoidance on those type of greens, on those 6 greens, and 15th in 3-putt avoidance from 25-plus feet. So just goes in line with that putting performance that you mentioned. For one and done, I'm going to go Ben Griffin.
Love that pick. UNC alum there, as I can hear my former resident on the pod, on the show on Thursdays. I can just hear Bill Bodner saying, "Go Heels!" as in there. So that's a great pick there. Love that pick there. Really looking forward to that. And just, I think his approach numbers there, I really expect him to be there, especially for the local contingent there as well. Akshay Batia up there, I just worry about off the tee. I think we saw that on Sunday as well at the 3M there. Before we get into a little gridiron action there, and in our fades more importantly, I want to let the patrons know that this is, that you've been listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network, and this is the Better Clubhouse live from FERC Sports Bar and Grill, 13th and Central, downtown St. Pete, proudly supported by Ice Pick Vodka, Sea Dogs, Brewing, and Shipyard Brewing is there as well. Sammy, when we circle the the names there. What's one name that you might not think that he we're 100% here? Don't need to knock on wood or anything like that. I'm just going to keep sipping my Champa Bay as we keep this undefeated streak going. What's one name the patrons should not put their money on and that you got fading this week?
Yeah, so we talked about this a little bit before the show, and I gave you a name, Kirk Kitayama. I didn't think he's going to win back-to-back, but I actually am going to go a different route now that I've had a little bit more time to think about it. Kind of in the same tone, though, I don't see Aaron Rye going back-to-back champion of the Wyndham Championship. He won last year. He gained across the field in all the major shots gained categories. I'm going back about 2 months here, and he hasn't put approach and putting together in the same event since the Truist here. And the highest finish he had is 17th. So I'm going to go with Aaron Rye as my fate of the week.
Like that, he's not my top 10, so we can cross him off. So Siwoo Kim and Aaron Rye there, top of the board picks. We're not afraid of the top of the board, fading those guys. Even in my top 10, kind of seeing the board really nicely the last month there. So looking forward to those picks. If you missed any of those, sign up for our newsletters, www.thebetterclubhouse.com. Sammy there. Let's transition. Let's go on out to the gridiron. Yeah, go ahead.
Siwoo's your fade?
Yes, Siwoo Kim. Exactly okay. Right. Yeah, I think his putting there, a little worried there. Does
I
like this
agree.
Track, but and I can see Hideki was very close by. Akshay Bhatia up there, like the local ties. I don't know. Just Siwoo's putter vibes, but we'll see up there in top 10. Hard to fade those guys, but I feel like I've been reading the board there. So Siwoo Kim and Aaron Rye there.
Love that.
So, Sammy, let's transition a little bit for this final 10 minutes here. I know you've been in the lab looking at the gridiron, obviously college football there. Big one, week one with obviously ACC, SEC, Joe Geiger's over here looking forward to Alabama versus Florida State week one. Plenty of games there. I think we also have Ohio State versus is it Georgia playing week one as well there, Sammy?
Texas.
You got to stay in the SEC there as well.
Yep.
Clemson versus Georgia, says Joe Geiger there as well. Another great
Clemson
pick.
LSU.
Yeah. So, Sammy, why don't you obviously get your pulse on the threads there for college football. Tell us what you've been digging into. What's the biggest takeaway that you got? I know you've been looking at the odds board and kind of names that you've been breaking down. What's one thing or two that the patrons that you kind of noticed first to just taking a quick glance at the gridiron there?
Yeah, so I've been deep diving the top 18 teams on the odds board. Pretty much everyone that's 75-1 or under on FanDuel Sportsbook. I deep dived all those 18 teams. I think the biggest takeaway on the surface was 14 of those 18 teams, maybe 15 of them, were from either the SEC or the Big Ten. So it's going to be a top-heavy year again. But I think those leagues are kind of wide open compared to what they've been the last couple of years. A lot of teams down the board in the 30 to range have a lot, 30 to 50 range really, have a lot of upside. I'm talking like Texas A&M, Auburn. I've been digging into, you know, coaches returning, coordinators changes, returning starters, and then just returning production behind that. What I have left to do is dig into the schedules. And, you know, when I take a future bet, whether it's to win a conference or win totals, I'm looking at how many road games do these teams have? How are the road games set up? Are there multiple back-to-back road games? If so, I'm probably not betting an over on win totals or to win their division or conference championship. So that's kind of everything I'm looking into right now. I think within maybe the week, next 2 weeks, I'll have that 18-team deep dive kind of prettied up and ready for our subscribers over on thebetterclubhouse.com. So just like our player deep dives, it's going to carry that similar theme. And I think that'll be a really good tool for our patrons to kind of tackle the preseason with college football. As far as schedule goes in week one, I'm looking at Clemson -3, first game of the season. LSU, a ton of missing production here. They've got a lot of talent at wide receiver and even running back. Obviously, LSU, Nussmeier, he's going to be in the Heisman conversation at least early on. But the offensive line has a lot of missing pieces. I think only one guy's back on that offensive line, and he graded out as the worst offensive lineman for the team. per PFF last year. Defense, we know LSU's defense has struggled mightily the last couple of years. They also have a bunch of missing pieces on that side that they need to kind of fill in the holes for. And then they're going against Clemson. At Clemson, the Battle of the Tigers from Death Valley. Both of those stadiums are nicknamed Death Valley. They're both Tigers. This is going to be in Clemson, a true home game, which I love to see from these early non-conference matchups. Clemson kind of on the opposite end, a ton of returning talent. They've got a Heisman candidate quarterback in Cade Klubnik, very solid wide receiving core that I expect to kind of improve to what we remember from the Sammy Watkins, DeAndre Hopkins days over there in Clemson. The defense, a ton of returning talent, and a new defensive coordinator, Tom Allen, who left Penn State and was replaced by Jim Knowles. He's still a very good defensive coordinator. I think he'll do well in Clemson. So that Brian Kelly, not very good on the road early in the season historically. So that Clemson -3, I think I'm looking at that up to -5 if you want to get in an early round week one bet. I'm not really sure in terms of bets yet where I'm going, but the work is being done, and it's going to be definitely up for our patrons on the Better Clubhouse Substack that we have.
Yeah, and just to clear up that on my side, August 30th there at noon kickoff, Texas versus Ohio State, 3:30, followed up by Alabama and the Florida State Seminoles there, 7:30, the game that just Sammy talked about, LSU versus Clemson, and then the nightcap, 11 o'clock, Utah versus UCLA. Action-packed first week there. Sammy there, plenty of key dates of those if you want to hit up Sammy at Sammy AV Bets there on X. That'll be August 4th. He's looking at a national championship. August 5th, SEC. August 6th, ACC. And just looking at that, Sammy, really looking forward to your information there. Before the patrons let you go, anything on the NFL side kind of catch your eye yet?
I haven't dug deep into the NFL yet. Usually I just want to see some preseason games. We don't really get that in college.
Might get one on Thursday, no?
Earlier. Yeah, we get one on Thursday. And, I'm not advocating for you to bet the Hall of Fame game.
Don't bet balls and strikes, but if you're going to do Hall of Fame, follow Sammy, right?
So, I mean, if you listen, I'm looking at the Lions, either money line or -1.5. Probably wouldn't want to pay the juice on a money line in a preseason game. I don't really know. They kick a field goal to win only by one. You know how that goes. But the Lions are going to be trotting out Hendon Hooker and Kyle Allen, and the Chargers at quarterback are going with Trey Lance and DJ Uiagalelei. And you know who that is. So
Joe just vomited just in his mouth, by the way, so congrats on that one.
There's been rumors that Trey Lance is improving under Harbaugh. As I like to say throughout the football season, I need to see it first. Rumors are just that, rumors, especially
Joe, 100 bucks he's going to take the under in this game.
No, wait, that is a very good point. Hall of Fame game unders is the way to go. This isn't even really a preseason game. You're a week and a half before the preseason starts, so the game plans are very vanilla. Expect a lot of running and a lot of moving clock. But I definitely lean the Lions with the quarterback advantage. I mean, Hooker and Kyle Allen's a seasoned vet. Whether he's going to play the first half or the second half, we're not sure yet. They're battling for the backup position behind Goff, so there's motivation there. Whereas the Chargers, the two quarterbacks playing for the Chargers, are battling for a roster spot pretty much. And we already know who the backup's going to be there. He's not even going to play. Herbert's not suiting up. So Heinicke is the backup for the Chargers, and he is the emergency quarterback. So just by quarterbacks alone, expect a really ugly game. But I think the Lions make a few more plays there than the Chargers and take home the Hall of Fame game result.
Sammy, if they want to bash you for your pick or praise you for your wins there, where can they find you and all this other great content that you're providing for the Better Clubhouse there?
Yeah, main form of contact would be X at Sammy AV Bets, Sammy AV Bets. I'm a little bit on Threads. I'm going to try to at least put all my articles on Threads just to have a little bit of more outreach. But, find us there and at thebetterclubhouse.com.
Appreciate it, as always, Sammy, on this last July. Let's go out with a banger. What do you think? And start August with a winner this week.
Emiliano Grillo to win the Wyndham Championship. You heard it here first.
Looking forward to that. Hopefully, if you haven't done that, do that for sure. Catch us there. Catch myself, Champs311, on X there as well. If you haven't already betted himself, big dumper himself, Kyle Riley, plus 170. Jump on that last game of the
also,
night.
Also, Champ Kyle Riley is from North Carolina, so that just keeps the theme.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, what else we got going on here? Gotta love it. Scripted. It's all that. Better Clubhouse has all the numbers. We already know what's going to happen in the future. We do that each and every week here on Tuesday, 7 to 8. Looking forward to that. Champs311 for myself, betterclubhouse.com. Sign up for our newsletters. And anything you missed, catch us out on Spotify and then also on our newsletter tomorrow as well. And on that note, you've been listening to the Better Clubhouse, the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection broadcast live from the 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. For Sammy Sharps, a shout out to Joe Geiger. Any final words there, Joe, as you signed off and go into the sunset there on this Tuesday at Ferg's?
You guys better all listen to the Better's Clubhouse every Tuesday while I'm gone.
That's it. You can always listen to that, Joe. And that, where you listen to that is on RadioSt.Pete.com on the Florida Sports Streams channel. Shout out to Joe there. Always does a great job behind the scenes there on the controls, setting us all up to be successful down here at Ferg's on Tuesdays. Also, a shout out to RadioSt.Pete.com, Joe Bordeaux, and also the mastermind behind the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, the one and only Mike Rickard there. Thank you for listening to the Better Clubhouse. God bless you, and God bless America.
See ya.
The Florida Sports Stream.